Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
I tell you, Boniface, I really, really enjoyed the Nasheed, and I did have the distinction of meeting with Junaid Jamshed, Rahimullah, and yeah, I did host him and do many other things with him. And one thing, you know, very cool, calm, and connected, but he can't be more cooler and calmer than the man that's right in front of me. But he's left Posey. He's in Josie, and he's with Hussein Ghani. I don't know who Hussein must be. If Hussein is near the phone, hey, you have to do a duo. You have to do a duo, Adam Kamda. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how's it there in Josie, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat. Yes, I'm missing Durban. I'm missing the ocean, but I'm always near the water. Today, I'm on the banks of the Witbank Dam. Such a beautiful place, Shafa'at, and watch the sun come up with all the different colors of oranges and yellows. It was quite an amazing sight. And there's always something calming about being near water, Shafa'at, whether it's the ocean or a big body of water like the Witbank Dam, Shafa'at.
You said it so beautifully. It is the ripples, and sometimes it's that sound in the background, even a waterfall. All right, when you get near the Victoria Falls, I may be exaggerating. It sounds like thunder coming down and so forth. But there's water everywhere, even the ocean when you're sitting there and you're looking at it. But to, you know, with you now, Adam, you know, generally you give me the update looking at the sunrise and the sunset. But the sunrise in the, you know, in the high felt is completely different, would you say?
Yes, Shafa'at, we were up early, lovely, fresh morning. The temperature started from about 8 degrees this morning. And the sunrise, the colors and the beauty is very similar to watching it coming up over the ocean. But I believe the Durban beach from the ocean of our Durban coast is very rough at the moment. We're expecting huge sea swells coming through today and tomorrow, accompanied with very strong southwesterly winds as well. My good friend Ghulam in Durban has been keeping me up to date with the conditions and even with the sardines as well. And he says conditions are really tough for him at the moment, Shafa'at.
Well, you talk about the Durban Ocean, I don't know, get into that motion. The sewage and the smell and what's happening here, then, everywhere. We'll get into that. But there you are, you know, used at the dam, and dam fishing is completely different to how you fish in your ocean, and there's not so much of motion in the dam. But talk us about, you know, the type of, you know, I want to tell the, when I tell the listeners, hey, he uses bombs for bait in the dam. And people say, hey, what is Shafa'at talking about? Tell them, Adam, what's the bombs that you use to catch the carp? You know, you don't throw a firecracker in, but you make a special bomb. Talk about that bomb.
Yes, Shafa'at, you're quite right. There is such a vast range of tackle that you can use to target different species of fish. And the fish that you find in the freshwater bodies is completely different from what you'd get along the coast, Shafa'at. On the coast, you'd need a long surf rod to be able to cast beyond the breakers and use a heavier sinker for it to stay stable, you know, in the surging water. But here up in the in Mpumalanga, fishing in a dam, you've got calm waters. And even with the freshwater fishing, Shafa'at, you know, with each different species of fish, you use different types of tackle. For example, if you're trying for carp, you'd use a long, very flexible rod. And talking about the bomb, you're talking about the mealy bomb. So the mealy bomb is like a powder that you mix with water into like a bit of a rough paste. And then you squeeze this over a little object that looks like a spring. And you have a mealy on your hook, and you have all this pup over the spring. And when you cast this out, that mealy bomb basically just dissolves in the water and spreads. It makes like a feeding ground for the fish. So the carp come and feed in this area, and then they would take the bait on the hook, Shafa'at, and you'd hook this beautiful carp. And then even fishing for bass, for example, you'd use like a 7-foot fairly stiff rod to flick out lures. And you could even try for trout, that you can use fly fishing tackle and try and catch trout. So there's quite a vast array of fish that you can target in the dams and rivers in this area, Shafa'at.
Yeah, and all those Afrikaners, I know they love the dam fishing. And hello, say onswo visvang. Who's your Afrikaans, Adam? Praat jy goeie Afrikaans?
Ek is half tweetalig, Shafa'at.
Hey, you're killing me. Yeah, hey?
I remember a few words from my high school days, and I so love interacting with my customers who are Afrikaners, and they get so thrilled when they find this Indian boy trying his luck and making an attempt to speak half-broken Afrikaans, Shepard. So I can understand a bit, and I can convert a little bit, but I don't think quite proficient enough to be on air or the radio, Shepard.
Yeah, hello, Balyar Moe in the water. Hey, the water's coming. Lekker om te Balyar. Hey, no more like before. Before, the Afrikaners, when they came to Durban, they used to come there, take off their shoes, take out everything. And Kaalvoet, they used to walk barefoot all over Durban. Tell them to do it now, and you'll see what will happen to the toes. It'll be gone by the end of the day. Hey, how it's changed, Adam? Why has it changed so much?
Yes, Shafar, I think there's a lack of maintenance and a lot of problems related to the flooding we had in April. A lot of the sewage treatment works have been damaged, and a lot of this is flowing into our rivers, our estuaries, and has affected the Durban beachfront quite significantly. However, I must say that it has improved over the last few weeks. And from before the school holidays, I think the authorities made lots of effort to clean things up to make it conducive for the holidaymakers to come. I haven't seen any warnings as such lately for the Durban beaches, and I've seen lots of people enjoying the facilities. But what is disturbing is there was quite a nasty spill at the Sepingo River mouth, and quite a few bream were found floating dead in the estuary. So that area has been closed off, and authorities are working hard to find the source and fix up the problem and to restore the ecology back to normal, Shafat.
Yeah, I've been checking that out. They say, okay, the pumps are ready and they'll be fitting it on. And according to another source who told me that he's involved in municipal work and so forth, he reckons they knew the problem in April, and they waited for disaster to take place, and then they always, they reckon they're two steps behind the real issue. So but the fact is that hopefully they will they will sort that out. Talk to us about that fish. We saw that. I mean, guys from Australia and UK were sending me the clip. I'm living there 1 minute away, and I'm looking at the guys. Alhamdulillah, higher up, it wasn't so much of a stench, but I believe more near Crab City, they had the stench. But the type of fish, and they were quite massive. They were quite big, Adam. And I didn't know our estuary and our lagoon had so many lovely big fish. Talk to us about the biggest fish you can catch here at the lagoon.
Yes, Shafar, that estuary area is such a magnificent place, for fish to breed and for all the organisms to live in harmony together. And it's really sad that it has to reach a catastrophic a point in its destruction before authorities take action. As you rightly mentioned, things were identified around April where pumps were damaged and raw effluent was flowing into the estuary, which should never be allowed. And it's only after one of the, I think it was a fisherman, or maybe this guy was just walking on the beach and he noticed the stench and saw all the fish floating. He took a video of it and shared it to social media, and it went viral via WhatsApp groups, etc., and I'm sure that's how you received it. And it's, everyone loves the environment and wants to see everything pristine. So I think it really struck a nerve, to a lot of people who saw this video, and they continued sharing it. And thankfully so that it reached the attention of the authorities, and they did take immediate steps to close that estuary area, close the beach in that vicinity, and they are taking urgent steps to remedy it. But these urgent steps, Shafar, I feel should take place as soon as they know there's a problem. They shouldn't wait, as I said, until things start to collapse. And once these fish die, it's very difficult for them to regenerate and for the estuary to rebound back to its original state, Shafar. So I think this intervention needs to come much, much earlier in the future, Shafar.
You make a good point there, Adam, and perhaps if the municipality should be honest enough and say, you know what, we don't know much about ecology, we can't handle the situation, source it out. There are people like Adam Kamda and his chommies. They know what to do. Let them check it out every month and they can give you a feasibility report. But people, They are stubborn. They won't listen. And, you know, I think about that, all that effluent and all that raw sewage getting there, maybe we got gigantic crabs around, Adam. Have you observed anything? Because the crabs, hey, they love the sewage, Adam.
Yes, Shepard, crabs, prawns, crayfish, they're all scavengers, and they thrive in dirty conditions. But I don't think we want raw sewage to be flowing in our systems.
Absolutely.
And these kind of environments are very important. They are all like filter feeders. The mangrove areas are very important to clean up the water. But through man's action, Jafar, it's so sad to say that this pollution is beyond the capabilities of even nature to rectify. And that's where the stench comes in. You know, normally you'd have some pollutants coming through. The environment can absorb it and correct it. But when it comes down in an industrial scale, then it just destroys everything in its path. And it's not healthy for anything. It's not healthy for the humans. It's not healthy for all the organisms that are living in this environment as well. And South Africa is blessed with lots of talent, Shafard. You know, there's so many marine biologists that are doing work, that have been doing work for years and years and years. So we have the talent at hand. It's just, I think, maybe a lack of resources or misused resources that they cannot action whatever needs to be done to correct these problems, Shafard.
Now, Adam, you know, I got a lot of my chummies. Hey, they are addicted to prawns. Hey, chef, I'm having prawns. Like, hey, but you know, Miley, that prawn there, he is known as a cockroach of the ocean. Like, hey, man, what you're damping my spirits. I said, no, man, that thing chows. You know what it chows? And they get very upset about the whole thing, but they will spend 300-400 rands just to have a lucker. You know, that's what they say, a lucker bit of rice and some prawns with lucker sauce and some chips on the side. Adam, I don't know. Are you a big prawn fan?
Yes, Shafard, you know, these are all delicacies. Prawns, crabs, crayfish, they command the highest price in seafood. But if you describe it in such an ugly manner, you could put people off. But, you know, the distinction is basically most of the fish in the ocean are predators. They eat other live fish, right, like barracuda and et cetera. And then you get this group of organisms living in the ocean that are scavengers. So whatever the barracuda chomps and misses a piece here or there, whatever, what would happen to those other pieces that fall to the bottom of the ocean? Would it just end up rotting? And this is what nature provides. This other class of organisms will scavenge and go and feed on this dead and decaying matter, and they will consume it. And if prawns, etc., is caught out in the deep ocean, although they are scavengers and eating all the dead and decaying matter, but they're still, Allah has made it so easy that, you know what, it's still healthy to eat. They are purifying the ocean of all these organisms and bacteria, etc., but they are still clean to eat. So I think maybe that's there must be some background to that as to why prawns are makruh, Shafard. So, you know, in our religion, there's lots of guidance given to us what to eat and what not to eat. It's not made completely haram, but if you avoid it, maybe it's better. But a lot of people love eating it and can continue to do so, you know, even though it's makruh.
I tell you, Adam is on the ball, eh? He knows his deen. Yeah, the Shafi's, you know, the Hanafi will say, yeah, it's makruh. And the Shafi will say, hey, I tell everything, Shaf, kullu mafi. All right, good luck to you. But, you know, that prawn, you have to cut that one vein out. Otherwise, it's very poisonous, Adam. Fill us in.
Yes, Shafar, I don't think it's poisonous, but it's... I wouldn't want to use a strong word, but it's unclean. You know, you need to. It's called a vein, but it's actually the gut. So it, you know, when you clean the shrimp, you can cut it, you can butterfly it open, and then wash that you can call it a vein. Wash that vein out. If you don't, you'll be munching all of that, and it can cause an allergic reaction if you're very sensitive to shellfish, etc. A lot of people who have these reactions is after eating shellfish that hasn't been cleaned properly. So it's important to remove that vein, as you said, because that's where all the waste. Even after the prawn eats, he also creates waste. So if you want to consume all of that, then eat it. But otherwise, you must remove that vein. And then you've got the pure white flesh. Cook it as you please, whether it's bright or it's fried or grilled in the oven. It's absolutely delicious with some garlic butter, Shafard.
Absolutely brilliant. I'm looking at the message on the screen here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat and Adam Kamda. You guys are cool, like the ocean. Jazakallah. He says, I want to tell you all that I came to Durban for a nikah recently, and I couldn't live in Durban. So the nikah was in Shepston, he says. And also, when I wanted to go back a week later, I booked myself into Ovongo. What a paradise on earth. Clean, pure, and we even enjoyed the lagoons and rivers in that area. Perhaps Adam Kamda can talk about it, and I want to know, people love it, and the fishing, how great is the fishing in Ovongo? Because I'm not a fisherman, but I want you to describe it. Well, I've been there once, but Adam, you know that when it comes to the south coast, you are the king of the coast. Tell us more about it.
Yes, Shafad, I absolutely love that spot. Ovongo has got Ovongo Falls, which is a river that comes, it opens up into the ocean. It's like it's a waterfall that falls into this, like a estuary system, which is a river mouth that flows into the ocean. And it's loved by holidaymakers because there are guys that hire kayaks so you can paddle around the lagoon if you want. And these beautiful chalets that you can book into, self-catering accommodation from all levels, from the really budget to really upmarket. And then it's a paradise for fishermen as well, Shafat. There is a small pier there that you can walk out onto, and it helps you to cast beyond the breakers. And it's often associated with fantastic garrick runs when the garrick comes through, especially this part of the year, Shafat, when there's sardines in the water. Sardines are coming past all the beaches, bringing with it lots of game fish. And many fishermen will be going down and targeting garrick with live bait. This part of the year, Shepard.
Jazakallah for that. Brother Ismail says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat indeed. I want to know from Adam where about he is, and maybe later on with the family go and check him out. I would love to see how lovely that place is, because he sounds very calm, that end too. Adam, the guys are listening to you. Ismail in range. Josie wants to come and meet you.
Yes, Shafar, this area is called, it's hard for me to pronounce it, Emala Shleni in Mpumalanga. It's on the banks of the Witbank Dam. I'm right close to the yacht club at the dam. And it's such a warm community of people here. I've met so many people, and they're all so warm and friendly. It's really quite an amazing place here, Shafar.
Yeah, I think they're warmer because they know you are, you know, part of Hussein Ghani's family. And, you know, how's Hussein doing? Is he with you there, Adam?
No, he's not right with me, Shafar. We were up early this morning, so he's going to have a little snooze before we have a huge breakfast. But he's doing really well, and he sends salams and duas to you as well, Shafar.
Oh, wa alaikum salam. Tell me, mentioned him. And how's his golf? I mean, I believe he's going to play in the Gary Player tournament very soon. Is that true, Adam?
Shafat, this area, you know, it's so striking, and for golfing enthusiasts, it's like living in heaven, because this is an estate. Each family owns their own unit, and on the one side is a complete golf course. In fact, the part of the golf course actually comes in between some of the units. It's such an amazing sight to see. And on the other side of the units that are built here is the dam, and some units are even built with a jetty going out onto the water, so you can be relaxing on your patio with your braai going, and you can have a line in the water if that's your forte. Some of the homes have jetties with jet skis on, so you can go jet skiing in the dam. Some guys have boats in their boathouses, so it's really a little paradise here, Shafat, and it feels so safe and so peaceful and so serene. I was just marveling at the sounds of the birds this morning. Yesterday evening when we arrived in this place, we saw a couple of kudu walking around welcoming us. It really is a little piece of heaven right down here in Mpumalanga, Shafat.
Mpumalanga, our Adam Kamda is doing justice to you. The way you're describing that place, hey, hi. And next time, maybe when I'm that part of the world, check it out. I'll go check Hussein Ghani. Now, I want to know about, you know, when we get high tide, low tide, when we walk in the ocean, we can see when it's really low tide, and you walk in, and you can see all the puddles, and you can go beyond the rocks. High tide, low tide on a dam, on, you know, those inland things. How does that work, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj, you know, on the coast, you are exposed to the water that comes to the shore, which is a body of water that's connected around the globe. So as the Earth rotates and as the moon rotates around the Earth and as the Earth goes around the sun, at every aspect, it affects that entire body of water that's going around the Earth. So on the coast, you would find that variation of high tide and low tide. But on the dams, it's sort of like an enclosed body of water. And if there is any difference, it's probably like 1 centimeter or 2 centimeters or even that. So it's really noticeable on the coast because all that entire body is, of water is warped because of the gravitational force between, you know, that's affected between the moon and the sun. On the water, on the Earth. But in the dams, you wouldn't really notice any difference, Shafaj.
Yeah, I tell you, your teacher is listening to you. Yeah, Idris Kamisa. Shafaj, my Adam Kamda making me proud. He knows his science. He knows everything, Idris Kamisa. This guy is a genius. Now, you know, you talk about the different aspects. Have you taken a crew with you? I mean, who's with you? Is there only a family gathering, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj, it's a family get-together. My very close relative of mine is having a housewarming party. She's just moved into her home a few days ago. So she's entertained so many of us. We had a huge table tennis tournament last night. It was so much of fun. And my sister will be leaving for Australia soon, so it's a little bit of a farewell for her as well. So it's really lovely to meet all the family here and get together on a happy occasion and, you know, wish my cousin well for the new home and also to see my sister off to a new life in Australia, Shafaj.
I mean, Allah make it successful for all of them and Allah bless them all. And I know Hussein Ghani was telling me that, you know, you're very closely related to Mufti A.K. Hussein also. And can you remind us how the link is with our beloved Mufti A.K. Hussein, Damat Barakatum, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj, I think we are linked somehow, but I don't know the exact connection. But as you know, most of us are connected somehow or the other, Shafaj.
But you're a very humble Ba, eh? You're a Ba one, but a very humble Ba. I like him for that. He's my Ba, Adam Ba. Adam, hey, Gigi Foy is screaming in my ear. You can recipe, Adam. Recipe. What recipe you got for Gigi Foy this morning, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj. Today I'd like to describe to the listeners how to make hummus. Hummus is such a loved starter, you know, to most Middle Eastern dishes. So, and it's so simple to make. You know, when you sit in a restaurant and eat it, it tastes so divine. It seems like people have been spending hours, slaving at hours over the stove to make it. But it's really quite simple, you know, with today's modern ingredients. So you start with a tin of 400 grams of chickpeas. Keep the liquid. Don't discard that. Other ingredients you would need is half a teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda, 2 teaspoons of Raja medium curry powder, the juice of a lemon, 1 clove of garlic sliced, 4.5 teaspoons of peanut butter, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and salt and pepper to taste. And the method to make the hummus, Shafaj, is you place the chickpeas and the bicarbonate of soda in a pot. Add just enough water to cover them. Cook the chickpeas for 20 minutes or until they are quite mushy and the skins start to peel away. While the chickpeas cook, dry roast the medium curry powder in a pan for about 1 to 2 minutes or until they become fragrant. Then you drain the chickpeas and rinse them under running water. Pop them into a food processor along with the lemon juice, garlic, peanut butter, and olive oil. Blend until smooth. If the mixture is too thick for the blades to turn freely, then you add 1 teaspoon at a time of the reserved chickpea liquid to loosen up the mixture until it's easy to blend. Then you season well with salt and pepper to taste and chill until needed. And that's your easy hummus recipe, Shafaj.
I tell you, Adam, very, very healthy indeed. That hummus recipe of yours are brilliant indeed. And you know what? You bring your segment alive no matter where you are. Anywhere in the world, Adam, we have to link with you unless you're out of reception. Because you know what? You really make it happen on Consciously Connected. Your parting words this morning?
Yes, Shafar, I'd just like to congratulate Rehana and Yunus on their new home and wish them well. And I'd love to ask all the listeners to make dua for all those that are embarking on a new life overseas or embarking on a journey. Just make dua that everything goes smoothly for them, for the journey, and for setting up their new life in a new country, Shafar. Thanks for a lovely show. Always a pleasure to chat to you. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our Adam Kamda, really making it pleasurable to have him, and I enjoyed the chat, people. And you can hear from his voice, he's such a family man. He's so much of a part of the family. Like everyone, when they have a function, the family say, no, our go-to man has to be Adam Kamda. And look at the duas he's making for his family members. And it is stated that who keeps family ties alive, and those that keep the families together, those people, they will prosper both in the dunya and akhirah. And Adam is one of them.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.